For the sermon today, we'll have Mr. Jim Hudson.
Well, greetings, everyone. Good to see everyone again. The title of this message is The Millennium and Beyond. We've gone over the specifics of what happens during the trumpet plagues at the end of this age. We rehearsed the events and tied in scriptures that are related to the plagues. We also explained what we think will be happening during each trumpet blast. Today, though, I want to take a slightly different path. It is a path whose steps are familiar to each of us, but we tend not to spend a lot of time on it. Today, I want to show where the trumpets take us as they propel us into the millennium. The title today of this message is The Millennium and Beyond. Now, we heard a message earlier on to infinity and beyond. This message is a little bit different, and we did not coordinate with this. It just happened to work out. Relax now and let the scriptures take you on a journey to that time that will soon be upon us. First, we will get a feel for how it will be at the end of the trumpet plagues as Christ returns. Let's turn now to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. And we'll read into this chapter somewhat. This describes the way the earth is after all the terrible events from the trumpet plagues. We'll start in verse 1. For behold, in those days and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. The people at the earlier time when the beast power was in charge had taken the people from Israel, and many of them had been sold into slavery or dispersed throughout the other nations. And they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine, that they might drink. So they were basically enslaving some of these people. Yes, and what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coast of Palestine? Will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because you have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temples my goodly, pleasant things. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold unto the Grecians, that you might remove them far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place where you have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. So all of these people that were sold into slavery, all of these people that were pushed out of the land of Israel, are going to return. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabaeans, to a people far off, for the Lord has spoken it. So that's the recompense, that the children of the people who invaded and destroyed Israel and the people of Israel are now having their children sold into servants. Proclaim you this among the Gentiles, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all you heathen, and gather yourselves together round about there, because and cause your mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. And of course, this is the great battle of the day of the Lord. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth will shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for their violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwells in Zion. So this is a picture of the battle and the follow-up where God, Jesus Christ, now rules in Jerusalem, and he's starting to make things better. Let's turn back one chapter to Joel chapter 2. We'll start in verse 15. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and give not your heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto this people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you approach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he has done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, you beast of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree bears her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Now remember, at the end, all the green things were killed, and the land was barren, the grass was burned up, the people were burned, and now we're seeing a miracle. We're seeing all the things restored. We're seeing water. We're seeing the trees are leafing out again and bearing fruit, and the vine, the grapevine, is yielding their grapes. So God is bringing about his promise to the people that there would be plenty. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the pommel worm, my great army which I sent among you. So he's not only going to bring back a normal condition, he's going to restore what was lost to all of these pests that had eaten all of the crops, and the people did not have a full harvest. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. So God now is pouring out his spirit over the entire earth, over all the people, not just in Israel, but everywhere. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in these days, those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And of course, that's the church. So we see that after all the things that have happened, after all the incredible destruction, God is restoring things. He's bringing things back. The plants are recovering. The peace has descended upon the earth. And everything is becoming restored. There are a number of events that occur as the millennium begins and progresses that are indicative of the process that God uses to bring everything to fruition. Of these events, the most important ones are the resurrection of the saints, the marriage supper, and the return of Christ. These are key elements to put God's kingdom into motion. Let's do a quick review. Just turn to Revelation 11. Revelation 11, we'll start in verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And that, of course, is when the authority to rule has been removed from Satan and placed on Christ. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who are and were and are to come, because you have taken to you your great power and have reigned. So he is now in charge of the earth. And the nations were angry, and your wrath is come, and the time of the nations is what it should say, that they should be judged, and that you should give reward unto the servants, your servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear your name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and a hail, earthquake and great hail. So this is the beginning of the rule of God, when Christ comes to take over the earth. Let's turn to Revelation 19. Revelation 19, we'll start in verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of almighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. So this is the bride prepared and ready for the marriage supper. Now let's go to verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And obviously this is Jesus Christ. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, clean and white. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Christ is returning to the earth with the saints. And there will be a final battle, of course, and the beast and false prophet and the armies of the north and the east will be destroyed. After Christ returns, he will establish his authority over the earth. His kingdom will at last begin on earth. He will remove Satan and the demons so that man will no longer be affected by them. The evil is going to be put away. Satan's going to be locked away with the demons at some place. We don't know exactly what that is, but it's a place like a bottomless pit. And all the armies, all the evil people are going to be removed. At that point, the ways of God will begin to be taught to man. The first time since Adam and Eve that the whole world will have access to God. Let's look at Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25, verse 7. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. Now this is the veil that Mr. Zerung discussed, the veil that prevents access to God from the people. They can't know God, they can't see God, they can't fully understand God's way of life. That veil is going to be removed. And he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. Let's turn to another verse in Isaiah. Isaiah 42, starting in verse 5. Isaiah 42, 5. Thus says the Lord God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth, and that which comes out of it, He that gives breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. So he's now giving his spirit. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand and keep you and give you for a covenant of the people, a light for the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Now, this will be our job. This is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to open the eyes of the blind. Now, obviously, that can be quite literal. We can talk about healing the actual blind people. But I think the spiritual understanding is more important, and that is the people who are blinded spiritually, who have not understood God's ways. We'll be opening those blind eyes to bring out the prisoners from the prison. Well, Satan has kept the whole world as prisoners, and we'll be releasing these people from his prison, from his way of life, his way of thinking. Of course, he's removed now, but that's removing the prisoners of Satan, the whole world that was trapped by him. And them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Well, Satan is darkness, and Christ is light, and we'll be bringing them from darkness to light. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. You that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. So people will start singing praises to God, because they're free now. They're free from the prison and the blindness that Satan has provided for them. Let's go to verse 16. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not, they did not know the way of God. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. And this, of course, Satan is described as a crooked serpent. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. So God is going to be available. Let's turn now to Isaiah chapter 2. In verse 2, Isaiah 2, verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Now think about that. The mountain of the Lord's house is God's rule over the earth. And his rule will be established on top of any other government there is on earth. That's the other mountains. And many people shall go and say, come you, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. So instead of Satan's way of life, everyone's going to learn God's way of life, the way of peace, the way of love. Turn over to Isaiah 11. We'll start in verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Now, we've seen this verse many, many times. But just think about it. Just imagine that the animals, their natures are changed. And even their bodies are changed. The lions, their teeth will be altered so that they can eat straw. And their stomachs, their digestive systems are altered so they can eat straw. Their whole physiology is changed. And God can do that with a snap of his fingers. You know, the snakes will no longer be poisonous. They won't bite. The animals will be peaceful. Everything will be peaceful. Verse 7, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's or the adder's den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, in all of God's government, all of his domain, there will be peace, and there will be no evil, there will be no destruction. And for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Let's turn over to Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4, starting in verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. People will want to come to see what God has done. They will want to come to Jerusalem. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So everyone will seek God, seek his ways, seek his law. It will be something people want. Nowadays, if you go out into the world, you go downstairs and you talk to someone that's not part of God's church, and they think that you're foolish. They don't understand because they're blinded. But after this, after Christ returns, people will actually come and ask to be taught. Verse 3, and he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations far off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree. None shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. That's a picture of peace. Think about that. You're able to farm, you're able to work, and you have time to go and sit and relax, maybe read some scripture, maybe talk with others. You have time now. You're not in a mad rush. You're not in a situation where you commute an hour and a half or an hour to work every day, back and forth, back and forth. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be peaceful. For all people will walk, everyone in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, says the Lord, I will assemble her that halts, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halts a remnant, and her that was cast off, far off, a strong nation. In other words, the governments, the people that had caused trouble, that had taken unfair advantage of God's people in previous times, he said, they will be a remnant. But the one that was cast off, the one that was afflicted, will be a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. And you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto you shall it come, even the first dominion. And we heard about dominions. And this is the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. And that's God's people. Now, he's also going to build his temple. He's going to rebuild it, but we don't actually have it right now. But he's going to build his temple. And the sons of Zadok, remember the sons of Zadok? He said they would always have someone to serve him. Well, they're going to be put in the temple to serve him and offer the offerings on the altar. Let's look at Ezekiel 43 for this. Ezekiel 43, we'll start in verse 1. Afterward, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looks toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. So here is Christ coming in from the east, and his glory is shining. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city, and the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Kibar, and I fell upon my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate whose prospect is toward the east. So he came in through the east gate. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And of course that's in the temple. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And I heard him speaking unto me out of the house. And the man stood by me. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet where I dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places. So Christ says, I'm not going to leave. I'm here permanently. And he's in his house. Go to verse 10. You son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all they have done, show them the form of the house, and the fashion thereof, and the goings out thereof, and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof and all the ordinances thereof and do them. So he's saying, you need to teach them how to serve me in my temple. Let's go to verse 18. And he said unto me, Son of man, thus says the Lord God, these are the ordinances of the altar in the day when they shall make it, to offer burnt offerings thereon and to sprinkle blood thereon. Now this is the altar where they do the daily offerings. And you shall give to the priests, the Levites, that be the seed of Zadok. So there's the sons of Zadok, which approach unto me to minister unto me, says the Lord God, a young bullock for a sin offering. And you shall take of the blood thereof and put it on the four horns of it and on the four corners of the saddle and upon the border round about. Thus shall you cleanse and purge it. Now pay some attention to these verses because something interesting is coming up. Thus shall you clean and purge it. You shall take the bullock also of the sin offering, and he shall burn it in the appointed house place of the house without the sanctuary. And on the second day, that was the first day, on the second day, you shall offer a kid of the goats without blemish for a sin offering, and they shall cleanse the altar as they did cleanse it with the bullock. That was the second day. And when you have made an end of cleansing it, you shall offer a young bullock without blemish and a ram out of the flock without blemish. I'm not going to go into it, but all of these offerings have significance. You shall offer them before the Lord and the priest. You shall cast salt upon them, and they shall offer them up for a burnt offering unto the Lord. 7 days shall you prepare every day a goat for a sin offering. They shall also prepare a young bullock and a ram out of the flock without blemish. That's 7 days. 7 days shall they purge the altar and purify it, and they shall consecrate themselves. Beginning to sound familiar, isn't it? And when these days are expired, it shall be that upon the 8th day, and so forward, the priest shall make your burnt offerings upon the altar and your peace offerings, and I will accept you, says the Lord God. So for 7 days, they have to cleanse and purify the altar, and then on the 8th day, it is prepared and ready to use. We have a 7-day feast, and then we have an 8th day, which is a holy day. And it matches up with this perfectly. So for 7 days, we're to purify ourselves. For 7 days. And then on the 8th day, that represents being accepted. And that's the whole world, of course, that's being represented as being accepted. Very interesting. At this time, God will also heal the damaged earth, the sea, the air, from all the pollution, chemicals, and radiation caused by the plagues. Let's look at Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47. We'll start in verse 1. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. From the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. And he brought me out of the way of the gate northward and led me about the gate without unto the utter gate by the way that looks eastward. And behold, there ran waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. That's approximately 1,500 feet. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were ankle deep. So it didn't seem like much of a river. It was ankle deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. They were deeper. And yet, normally you expect on something like this for such short a distance to be about the same the whole distance. And yet they were getting deeper quickly. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. The waters were so deep now, you have to swim. You couldn't even walk. And he said unto me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the bank of the river, brink of the river. And when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and the other. Then he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. So the polluted waters from all the destruction and all the things that had gone on during the, not only during the tribulation, but even now as we're polluting the planet, These things are going to be healed every moment these waters flow out and further, everything they touch is going to be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that lives, which moves, whatsoever the river shall come, shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come there, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live where the water comes, where the river comes. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from the Engedi even unto Engleim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea. Just think about that. All the life in the oceans had been killed. And now they have so many fish that you can't possibly catch them all. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And of course, you have to have salt marshes to have a good ecosystem. And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for food, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for food, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Now that's interesting also, if you'll think about in Revelation, the new heavens, the new earth, the river that goes forth out from the throne, and the fact that there are trees for the healing of the nations. It's sort of a, this is what we have in the physical, but we have something even better coming in the spiritual. At this time, God's word will be available. His ways will be open for everyone to understand. And his spirit is poured out and is available for everyone who repents. So now we get more into the spiritual of what's coming in the millennium and after the millennium. Let's look at Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29. We'll start in verse 17. Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek shall also increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to nothing, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. So everyone that had evil ways are removed so that they won't pollute and cause trouble with the beginnings of God's kingdom. Those that make a man an offender for a word and lay a snare for him, that reprove in the gate and turn aside the just for a thing of naught, these are no longer around. Therefore, thus says the Lord, who redeems Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face wax pale. But when he sees his children, the work of my hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and shall fear the God of Israel. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding. So people will be able to understand now. And they that murmured shall learn doctrine. So the whole world is going to be taught. Let's look at Isaiah 59, verse 20. Isaiah 59, 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of your mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed's seed, said the Lord, from henceforth, even forever. So not only is everyone given the opportunity, they teach their children and their children's children, and everyone comes to and serves God. Let's look at one more verse here, Ezekiel 11, Ezekiel 11, verse 17. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you've been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come there, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof from all the abominations thereof from here. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Talk about a spiritual healing. This is going to be a massive spiritual healing throughout the world. Everyone will be seeking God and understanding it. Also, the people of Israel are now returned to their land from wherever they were scattered. And they were scattered all over. The people of Israel, this is all the tribes, have gone out for many, many, many years. And they have gone through the southern parts of Russia. They've gone east almost to China. They've gone to Europe. They've gone across to America and to Australia. And I'll say North America, I should say. Canada, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, and other places. They're all over. They're going to be returned. Look at Jeremiah. Let's turn to Jeremiah 3. Jeremiah 3, starting in verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you, and I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when you be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Lord, they shall say no more, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. In other words, this has been a big deal, the Ark of the Covenant. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they say, shall they visit it. So it obviously is somewhere they could visit. Neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. So all of Judah and Israel will be returned. And they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given them for an inheritance to your fathers. So here it talks about returning Judah and Israel. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 27. Isaiah chapter 27, verse 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and you shall be gathered one by one, O you children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. Now that's interesting that there's going to be landform changes at the time of the end, such that there will be a way for Israel to actually come back to the land of Israel. I'm talking about the people coming to the land of Israel. Let's see. If you'll look at Isaiah 11, verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and to it the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So he's going to gather together all the people, Judah and Israel, from the four corners of the earth. And verse 15, the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like it was to Israel in the day when he came up out of the land of Egypt. Now, when Israel came up out of the land of Egypt, the river was divided, or the sea was divided, and the people came through. And here, from the Euphrates River all the way down to the Nile, there's going to be a highway for people to come and return to Israel. The survivors of the nations will seek and be taught by God. That's another thing that's going to happen. They're actually going to seek God. Let's look at Zechariah chapter 8. That's Zechariah chapter 8. We'll go to verse 20. Thus says the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yes, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Anyone that is recognized as part of Israel, and especially the Jews, they're going to be very popular. Instead of being shunned, they're going to be popular. And everyone's going to say, Can I go with you? I want to go with you, because they've heard that God is with you. Let's look at Zechariah 2. Zechariah 2 in verse 10. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I have come, and I will dwell in the midst of you, says the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. Joined to the Lord, not just coming there, but joined as part of God's people. And shall be my people. So God's going to take them as his people. And I will dwell in the midst of you, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. So even the nations now are joining or becoming part of God's kingdom. Let's look at Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30, we'll start in verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. They shall weep no more. And he will be very gracious unto you at the voice of your cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer you. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner any more. But your eyes shall see your teachers. And your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, This is the way, walk you in it. When you turn to the left hand, and when you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left. So it looks like God's people are teaching the nations, are teaching everyone how to live. Also during this time, the cities are going to be rebuilt. I don't think you're going to see New York City. I don't think you're going to see L.A. or London. But the cities that were destroyed will be rebuilt, but in a way that is proper. And the land is going to be restored to productivity. The land that was burned and destroyed and overrun with armies and all kinds of terrible things have happened, the land which has been stripped of its productivity now through our modern farming methods, which they just fertilize and fertilize and pour on weed killer and all kinds of things like Roundup, and they have genetically modified seeds, all of these things are going to be done away with. And the land's going to be restored. Let's look at Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, verse 4. And they shall build the old wastes, and shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. That's what we'll be. Men shall call you the ministers of our God, and you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. For another example, let's look at Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, verse 33. Thus says the Lord God, In the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be built, and the desolate land shall be tilled. The land that was just bare, the land that was ruined, shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, This land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. So God's going to provide the purity of the ground and restore the fertility of the ground. And it will be like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus says the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. At this time, the people are going to live good lives. Food is going to be plentiful. Just imagine, you know, now we go to the grocery store and we complain because the food doesn't taste good sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't, they don't have the kind of things we want. Sometimes we look at it and they put unclean stuff in there. It's just, food is not, I mean, there's a lot of food, but it's not plentiful that is good food. There's a lot of food that's not good. And the soybeans are genetically modified. So the things are not all good that we have. But food will be plentiful and it will be good food. Let's look at Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, verse 18. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. You will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. For there shall no more from there be an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And of course, this can be applied to the final white throne judgment, but it also could be applied throughout the millennium. We really don't know. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people. So we'll live like a tree in terms of time. And mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. And they shall not labor in vain or bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with him. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. And that's another place there that talks about that. Let's look at Zechariah 8. Zechariah 8, verse 3. Thus says the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Life is good. Life is good. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, says the Lord of hosts? Just think, life is so good. The kids are in the streets, the old people are in the streets. We can't do that now. We go outside, we go into a city. It's not safe. You're always worried that somebody's going to try to rob you or kill you or abduct your children. It's not safe. But here, the children are playing in the streets. The old people are out there with them. It's safe. As a recap, let's look at the big picture once again. Let's look at Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, and your spoil shall be divided in the midst of you. Now let's go down to verse 7. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. Now these are the living waters. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. All the land shall be turned in as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. A plain. Just think, it's a very mountainous area. I don't know if you've seen a picture or not. But every time you see in the Bible talking about going to Jerusalem, they say, let us go up to Jerusalem because it's up high in the mountains. And all around is hills and mountains. It's going to be turned into a plain. And it should be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So God's going to have the Feast of Tabernacles every year in Jerusalem and expect people to come even from the nations that fought against Jerusalem. Go down to verse 20. One of Mr. Zerung's favorite verses, I think. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Just think, these are consecrated vessels. These are things that are for God's service. And in Jerusalem, in the whole area, everything's going to be holy. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them, and seed therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. So I can just see these horses with the bells right now going down the street. I can hear them too. After Satan is released and he and his army are destroyed, the white throne judgment will allow all who has ever lived to enjoy the same conditions that those in the millennium enjoyed while being taught God's way of life. As Christ told the man being crucified next to him, "You shall be with me in paradise," and it will truly be a paradise. What comes beyond these events? Well, I'm just going to mention it without turning to Scripture. In Revelation 21, of course, there's a description of the new heavens, the new earth, the temple, all the massive size of this temple, and of New Jerusalem, just incredible New Jerusalem, approximately 1,500 miles per side. And everyone will be able to see God and talk to God and be with God. And everyone will have peace. There will be peace. And everyone will have God's laws written in them and will follow them. There will be no sickness. There will be no sorrow. And we won't get tired either. Brethren, the time that this feast represents is a time of spiritual restoration as well as a time of physical restoration. Spiritual restoration. That is the main thing. Yes, there will be a lot of physical restoration, but spiritual restoration. The whole world will be like God's kingdom. The whole world will be like the Garden of Eden eventually. It's a restoration of the kingdom of God on the earth. A restoration of the earth itself after the horrific events of the tribulation, making it like a Garden of Eden. And a restoration of a right relationship between God and man. A right relationship. They ultimately bring about a new heavens and a new earth where we will live forever in a spiritual paradise with each other and with Christ and the Father. It is important to know what happens during the time of trumpets, but it is more important to see where this time brings us into the millennium and beyond.